All right, let's jump into the Word of God. If you can, let's go ahead and stand, and let's continue with how we read God's Word. We are starting a new sermon series this week, and the sermon series is in the book of James. And so this is not going to be an in-depth study of the book of James, but what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of the things that James brings to our attention. So if you can turn to James, I'm going to read James first chapter. I'm going to read verses 1-4 to get us started. And I'm just going to tell you now, today's going to be an abbreviated sermon, and you'll find out why at the end. So that means you got to come back next week, all right? All right, James, first chapter. If you have it, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. All right, we got one hold up. James is after Hebrews. All righty. All right, James, it says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result. Why? So that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to the throne of grace today. God, we just thank you for who you are. God, thank you for being the good Father that you are, God. God, thank you for gathering us today, God, as a fellowship of believers to come, God, and to hear from you, to fellowship with one another, God. God, I pray that this word today fall on the good soil of our hearts, not on the stony places and not on the rocky places, but on the good soil of our hearts. That this word, God, that we hear from James, that it may bring back a harvest. And so we just give you praise, glory, and honor. And God, I ask you to do one thing as I stand here. God, I ask you to just wear me like a glove. Use me, God, for the very intents and purposes that you created me for, and that is to make your name great. And so we just give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be, I almost forgot. See, y'all thought I was gonna forget. Can we read our statement, please? All right, on three. 1, 2, 3. Connect Church exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, love people, and impact the world. Can we give God a hand clap of praise as you take your seat? All right, you may be seated. So today I just want to give an overview/introduction on this book of James. And I want to set us up for the weeks going forward. This is going to be probably a 4-week sermon series. But today I just thought I would take some time and just really explain what we're doing and why we're doing the book of James and to kind of lay some framework. And so James, as you know, is the brother of Jesus Christ. James was one of the apostles who followed God. I mean, who followed Jesus Christ. And research and history shows that James, the brother of Jesus, didn't start following Jesus until later on. And isn't that just like family? Some of the hardest people to convince or to speak to or to speak into is who? Family. And so this is kind of the dynamic around the book of James. And then also, I want you to understand who James is. I thought I identified with other people in the Bible, but I really think I identify with James. Because James is the type of person that's just going to tell you just like it is. James is not going to sugarcoat it. He's not going to try. James is just going to say it, and it's like, hey, this is it. Deal with it. And I think sometimes as believers, and especially in this society right now, most people can't handle just in your face, just if I could say spiritually, somebody grab you by the collar of your shirt and just tell you, hey, if you're going to be a believer in Jesus Christ, this is what it's going to take. And we know now from coaching and all of that, that if you grab a kid's helmet nowadays, it's like the whole world is going to be turned upside down. And Lord knows if you grab a kid in the collar and tell him, hey, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. You're going to be on YouTube, Instagram. You're going to be the coach that's out of control. And so why do I always want to tell y'all these interesting stories about me? But when my sons were in sports, and the reason I say I identify with James is I'm the guy that got kicked out of a YMCA third grade basketball game. I mean, I'm throwing chairs. I mean, I'm just ranting and raving, and my sons are crying because the refs ushered me out, and I'm looking in the window trying to see the game, and they're like, "What are you doing to my daddy?" I'm like, and now that I look back on this, who gets thrown out? Who gets kicked out? Who gets ejected from a third grade YMCA basketball game? Well, I'm glad I have some others. So there's a lot of us. I mean, there are some of us in here that we can understand James, and we are just that kind of person, and that we just want to get in your face. And it's not from a hatred kind of perspective. It's just we just believe in you, and we're passionate. And James is very passionate about Jesus Christ. And you can see James' passion because if you look at how James introduces himself, he says, James, a bondservant of God. James doesn't introduce himself by James, the half-brother of Jesus. Because how many of us know that if we were half-brothers, three-thirds of a, if we was related to Jesus in any kind of way, wouldn't that be the first thing that folks would know? You do know I'm first cousin with Jesus, right? I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, so you can see James's passion and his attitude. He says, man, just flat out, I'm just a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Like, man, I just love Jesus Christ. He says, I love God and I love Jesus Christ. And the next sentence is, he just tells you who this book is written to. It's written to the 12 tribes of Israel. This means that James is writing to a predominantly Christian audience. And he's talking to Christians about what it takes to be a believer in Jesus Christ. What it takes to have it tattooed on you that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And so James goes on. He's writing to a group of Christians. They are dispersed all over. And then here's where I say James just jumps right into it. He says, hello, I'm James. Right off the bat, James says, consider it all joy. He says, consider it all joy when you encounter trials. And this is how James deals with it. He tells us that this is how we deal with trials, how we deal with tests, and how we deal with turbulence in our lives. James says, consider it all joy. And I've been massaging that statement over and over and over again in my head. Why would James say, consider it all joy? Because if I ask those people here that are going through trials, that have just come out of a trial, and those of us that are on our way to our next trial, did you think it was joyful? Can I get anybody here to testify to the joyfulness of the trials or the test or the turbulence that you are in? But that's what James tells us, and he challenges us on, and he grabs us in our shirts, and he shakes us, and he says, consider it all joy. When you face these tests, these trials, and this turbulence in your life. And the reason that it's a joy is that, and I've been thinking about this all week, when we're going through tests, when we're going through trials, when we're having turbulence in our lives, we get an opportunity to see God work. And when you look back over your life and you think about, if you look back, just look back 2 years ago where we were as a society, we were engulfed in one of the biggest pandemics that had ever, that this world has ever faced. But here it is now, it's the end of 2022, and we have kind of relaxed, and sometimes we have to even remind ourselves, like, man, we just came out of COVID. And there are so many people that I meet and talk to in the business community, they say that their businesses flourished during the worst time in our lives. You see, you really don't learn when you're at the top of the mountain. Anybody can handle a mountaintop experience. Man, I can tell you, get you some of the darkest sunglasses, enjoy the view. I mean, just sit there and just soak it all in. When your kids are acting right, the bills are paid, your supervisor's acting okay, your wife is acting right. Your husband's acting right. I mean, it's a joyful thing. Isn't it? Man, it is just like, But what do you do when you walk in the house and the first thing when you slam the door, why you gotta slam the door like that? Don't leave your shoes there. You mean there? Is there anything to eat? But Paul says, why should you count these trials as joy? Why? Because we learn as we're on our way up and as we're on our way down. That's when you learn the biggest lessons in life. That's when you learn that you have trusted God and God has shown himself faithful. Paul says, consider that joy. Why? Because Job told us, Job says, what is it? Many are the trials and tribulations of a man born of a woman. I'm probably not saying it exactly correct, but I know somebody here correct me after service, like, Pastor, you didn't say that right. But Job told us that a man born of a woman is of but a few days and several problems. And so what I want to communicate to us today is that we have to have a great understanding of when life has thrown us a curve, to not let it shake your world. And for so many young people, I wasn't going to call out an age group. Y'all act like y'all didn't hear that. For so many people, when something happens, it just turns the world upside down. Like, oh my God, that's okay. You're going to get through this. God is faithful. And that's what James is telling us, is we must rely on the faithfulness of God. Rely on the faithfulness of God. And he goes on to say that it's a testing of your faith. And your faith is going to produce endurance. And endurance have its perfect result. Why? So that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. One word I want to deal with right there real quickly is that word perfect. That word perfect there is not perfection. It's progress. I think one translation says it's maturing, that it's growing. And some of us, we get down on ourselves when things don't go right because we feel like that everything should go perfect and that we should be perfect. Can I tell you, if you've lived any time over 6 years old, you know that life is not going to go perfect. Amen? And so that's what James is telling us today. And so I'm going to end right there. And you guys are going to understand why later. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today, God. We just thank you for who you are. God, thank you for this book of James, and thank you for his practicality. Thank you for his truthfulness and being the type of person, God, that we can learn from, that just tells us just like it is. And so, God, I know today was a short sermon, and God, I pray that it was pleasing to it was pleasing to you. But God, we need to move into a different part of the service. And so, God, I just want to take this opportunity to pray if there's anyone here that needs prayer. I just want to pray for you today. I want to pray that God covers you, that God comforts you, and that you know that God is a good, good Father. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to pray for you. And I don't want to move too fast. So if there's anyone here today that you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and life is really taking you through some tests and some trials, and you have nowhere else to turn, if God is pressing on your heart today to give your life to him, I just simply want you to do one thing. Just shoot your hand in the air. And so, God, we just thank you for who you are, God. God, thank you for Connect Church. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing. God, thank you for the families that are represented here today, God. God, continue to give us wisdom and guidance, God, on how to lead ourselves and how to lead this church, God, that we might make the impact, God, that you've called us to make. And so, God, we just give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.